League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So hello and welcome to Triple Captain. No fancy poem this week, because I think we're going to keep it short, aren't we, Luke? We're going to keep it short today. So we thought, let's not start with a little bit of the FPL bard, FPL Shakespeare, whatever we said you were. We'll keep it easy.
Yeah, whatever we said, I was. We're going to keep it nice, quick, snappy. It's a quick turnaround, isn't it? Because we're recording Thursday midday, so and the deadline, of course, is tomorrow evening, I think, again. So Ben's got a quick edit to do, so we're going to do a quick episode. Starting off with, we are Triple Captain, of course. We're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. I am Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter. And I'm joined by my co-host, Rich Wolfenden. But we're not with Ben today, are we?
No, he's got a client meeting or something like that. You know, some absolute tosh. Yeah, he's lying down on the couch having some time off, isn't he? Let's be honest. No, he's probably next to his big whiteboard of FPL options. So let's talk about the week that's just gone then.
Yep.
Game week 33. Quite a low average this week. See, this is what the average was like more regularly last season than it has been this season. I've unfortunately had a red arrow, only a small one, down to 610k. I think it was 580 or something like that. So it's not the biggest drop in the world. So I'm not too gutted. 49 points is what I got overall. And I mean, I was saying to you and Ben, wasn't I, on the chat on our little WhatsApp group there, that my planning for this game week has been absolutely atrocious. So I still had Reguilon, Kane and Edison in my team, who obviously weren't even featuring in this game week. So immediately I was like, oh, and I had a goalkeeper, Forster, as well at Southampton, who wasn't going to feature as well. So I had to make these changes. And I had Son. He had five players. I had five players who weren't due to play this week. So I had to take the minus eight this week. Unfortunately, to do a few transfers. So I brought in Sanchez of Brighton, the goalkeeper, because they were playing Sheffield United, one of the worst teams in Premier League history. Obviously, they beat Brighton 1-0. And I didn't get any clean sheet or save bonuses. But, you know, whatever. 2 points for him. The rest of the team, Shaw got me eight. I had Alonso in. He didn't play. So Holding came in for a nice round two. Soufal got two. Lingard got two. Jorginho got three, Jota one, Vidra got two, Greenwood was my captain, he only got me six, Salah got nine, and then Iheanacho, the only man with the little white star in blue next to his name, the only one worthwhile having. So he's kind of salvaged me. And 49 overall, so quite a way short of that 60 that we're trying to hit every game week. But I've got a good backbone of a team, I think, for the end of the season, although it looks like there's going to be a lot of changes to the game weeks, which we'll talk about very shortly. But how did you get on? You had a good game week, didn't you?
Well, on Monday at 8:45 p.m. I think I was on about 30 points, and by the end of Monday night I was on 63. So it was good. It absolutely, that Leicester game just saved my ass. Iheanacho, yeah. I captained Iheanacho this week. I decided to go a little bit different to Mo Salah, who was my vice. So obviously I owned Salah, so it didn't hurt me too much when he scored the goals. It was only a couple of points here and there. And I also brought in Timothy Castagna. I did that thing again where I brought a defender in and they scored immediately. I couldn't quite believe my luck. The reason I went for Castagna is basically just because of Leicester's fixtures. I mean, normally I'll look at the stats of defenders and see how they're playing and maybe favour form over fixtures. But I thought, well, Leicester are playing Palace, not great at all. He'll probably get forward. And I saw that he created a few chances, nowhere near the kind of amount of Trent and Shaw, but I think that fixture was tasty. So brought Castagne in for a minus four. I took out Ruben Diaz, who was obviously going to score zero this week, brought in Castagne. And I also took out Son, who was going to score zero. And I brought in Bruno Fernandes, who unfortunately didn't return, but was fairly close. A total profit of 12 points. Sorry, 8 points minus the four. So that's fine by me. Got a little bit lucky with Castagne scoring his goal, but that was brilliant. And of course, Iheanacho delivering again with a 12-point return, which became 24. So 63 minus
four. Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Yeah,
he's literally his goal was like incredible. Where has that been all season? It's like the ability of Vardy has been transferred into Iheanacho.
Yeah, it's come from nowhere. And I mean, the stats back it up. You look at the stats and Iheanacho's out shooting Vardy. He's outscoring him. He is the better option right now, and he's much, much cheaper. Like, I understand quite a few people have got Iheanacho and Vardy together, and I think, yeah, why not? Great combination. But I've been fine without both of them and just Iheanacho. Pretty much it was him, Castagne, Mendy with a 5-pointer. Because he got a booking late on in that Chelsea match, annoyingly. And Salah with 9. And Richarlison finally coming in with an assist from that Leno own goal. I was like, yes, Richarlison's returned some points. Richarlison's returned.
I was watching that in work and I was just like, because I don't know if you watched the game, but second half, like, we were just sleepwalking. We were so, so bad. And then it was just the one moment where Richarlison skipped away from Xhaka. And to have the nerve to celebrate that goal, Richarlison. That was next level. He was trying to pull it across to Calvert-Lewin, wasn't he? And it just went right under the legs of Leno. Beautiful stuff. I'll take a double over Arsenal this season. I can't remember the last time that happened. So
yeah.
I'm happy with that. And I'm happy you got your points for investing in them as well, because you've been waiting for that.
I have, yeah. And I think I like Richarlison's greed. That's good for FPL. And, you know, I think Calvert-Lewin's a good choice as well for the next few weeks, because we're going to talk about the potential doubles that we've got coming up and all those permutations as quickly as we can, of course. So I've still got... After thinking, really worrying a little bit this week that I'd taken a small red arrow, really, because my team wasn't particularly well set up. I had to play Saka and Smith-Rowe in midfield. Connor Cody, of course, got 0 points because of that Wolves-Burnley. What about Chris Wood, mate? The Chris Wood experiment. If I'd have gone with him, that was the last minute decision on my wild card because Madison was in. Remember, because Madison was injured and he wasn't going to be back, I switched Madison for Saka and I switched Chris Wood for Richarlison. And if I'd have kept Chris Wood, I'd have got the 20-pointer. It felt like an Antonio moment last year, you know, because quite a few people have got him in. I looked at some of my mini leagues and I was like, well, I've got a green arrow, but... He's got Chris Wood as well.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was extra gutted because I had Vidra, and I came back from football and I saw the Burnley score and I was like, oh my God, Burnley, how many goals? What, they're all Chris Wood? Are you kidding me? maybe Wood is going to be this season's Antonio from last season.
Yeah, you never know.
I don't know, because I'm not anywhere near getting in that top 100k. I think I might just start rolling the dice on some of these players who I think might, you know, bang at the end of the season. And Wood is top of that list.
And the thing is, the stats really, really backed it up. They really backed choosing Chris Wood. His shots total has gone up a lot over the past few game weeks. And now after this hat trick, he's top. He's ahead of Harry Kane for shots. He's had 20 shots in his last four matches. That's huge. I don't think I'm interested in bringing him in, because it's, you know, it's one of those things where a player scores a hat trick. We've spoke about this so often. A player scores a hat trick, then you rush to bring him in, and then they go cold. So, but I don't think he's a bad. I don't think he's a bad choice at all. But yeah,
I'm just conscious of that because this is what happened with Iheanacho. I thought, oh, Iheanacho is not that prolific, and now. What, has he got like 8 goals in like 5 games or something mad like that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could happen with Chris Wood. I mean, I'm hoping it'll happen with someone else and I can get in there ahead of the curve. But, you know, Richarlison, who you've been backing for a while, it feels like he's about to bang. So he could well be ahead of Chris Wood in the pecking order, I think.
Okay, yeah. And his shot total backs it up as well. He's been having lots of shots. And yeah, I think... he just needs to get his finishing sorted, doesn't he? But we'll see. So yeah, I'm up. Yeah. I'm up again, and another green arrow, like six in a row, I think now. So I'm up to 39,354. So just snuck into the top 40k, top 30k in my sights. That would be lovely if I can beat last season's score. I think I finished 30k last season. If I can beat that, I'll be really, really happy. But I'm in a good spot.
Yeah, this is one of the highest places you've been in a while, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
So you've slowly been clawing back those places.
Yeah, I got to 25k earlier in the season. I think that was my highest rank. And then did that disastrous free hit and everything started to go wrong. And then I got...
When you had a bit of a mental wobble, you were like, oh, I'm just going to do what I feel.
Yeah.
And just, what? Is this acting real Luke who we're talking to here?
Exactly, yeah. So... That kind of set me back quite a lot to about 150k, and I've just slowly clawed my way back. So I'm really, really pleased with how things are going, and everything seems to be going right for me at the moment, which is great. So, Rich, talk us through, because I've not been on Twitter a lot recently either, so I could get caught cold with this. Can you talk us through what Ben Crellin is currently saying about the potential double game weeks we've got coming up?
So it's become weird how Ben Crellin is one of the most visited Twitter pages for me. Like, I visit him more than anybody else. It's just for the preparation of what I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks for me FPL team.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem to know either, which is concerning, because he is the man who seems to know what's going on. But by the looks of things, just going off the comments that he's saying, this is all off the back of Wolves getting people to register for tickets for their final home game of the season, which I think was going to be an away game, but is now a home game or something like that. So I don't know, there's some confusion over that. But basically, game week 34, it looks like it's going to be a standard game week, which is fine, which is the game week which we're heading into. Game week 35 is going to be a super mega bumper double game week. So you've got two teams doubling up. You've got eight teams doubling up, I should say. Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, Everton, Southampton, Arsenal, Chelsea, Leicester, and Man United. So there's a lot of teams, you know, in contention for things that are in that double game week bracket, you know, most of them going for the Champions League places. But then this is where it gets interesting, because it looks like, because of the fixture congestion and some of those teams that I've just mentioned have still got European commitments. So obviously Chelsea, Manchester United still got, you know, the European ambitions in the Champions League and in the Europa League. So it looks like we're on for a bonus game week. Which could be a game week 35, or game week 35 plus. I don't know what it'd be called, 35 and a half. But then other than that, so far, it seems like it's going to be a normal end to the season.
So with this...
I don't know. Very confusing.
With this 35 plus, would that mean that teams don't blank in game week 36?
No, I think it means some teams would blank in game week 36, because that would be... Would that be the semi-finals of the Europa League? No, that's this week, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because there is a second leg. But what I'm thinking is, before looking at this myself, I haven't looked at the latest. But before that, it was that there'd be a double game week 35. And then four of the teams that double in 35 would then blank in game week 36. Is that not going to be the case if there's a 35 plus? I can't see any of this 35 plus stuff. Where's that? Is this on Ben Crellin's as well?
Game week. There was Ben Crellin and there was someone in the comments. So as it stands, there's going to be two teams anyway in European contention. So that would mean that their fixtures for the Premier League would probably move and likely be moved into another game week.
Yeah, this is what it seems.
Is that game week 35?
Yeah, I can't see anything about a 35 plus at the moment. Ben Crellin's a 35 plus. But hey, anything can happen. Who knows? At the moment on Ben Crellin's, it's 34 as normal, as you said, and then a potential, which still hasn't been confirmed, a likely double game week 35. The problem with the double game week 35 is that Arsenal, Chelsea, Leicester and United, who all have a double in 35... then blank in 36. Yeah. Whereas Villa, Crystal Palace, Everton and Southampton, who all have a double in 35, don't blank in 36. So the tricky thing is, if you haven't got any chips left, like you or I, The tricky thing is, how do we navigate this double and then immediately the blank afterwards? It's tricky, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, I'm looking at my team and I've got like, I've got two Arsenal, so that's great for the double, but then they blank in 36. And then I've got... Yeah. I've got Golonzo and Mendy, which is going to be pretty... Alonso's pretty useless anyway, really. He's particularly as Chelsea's... Chelsea's double's pretty tricky. They've got City and Arsenal in that. I've also got Iheanacho and Castagna, who will have a double in 35, but then blank in 36. And I've got Bruno Fernandes, who will have a double in 35, and then blank in 36. So it's like, well, great. I've got enough for 35, but then what am I going to do with my team in 36 when none of them play?
Yeah, I mean, this was my conundrum this game week, because I had five players who were unavailable. And the main issue for me for this game week that's just gone, in game week 33, was that both my goalkeepers were out. So I was just going to have to play with 10 players. And you advised me to get someone in, even if you're taking the hit. So is it not a similar kind of thing for, you know, these people who would plan for a big double game week and then have, I don't know, four or five players missing for that? Game week 35.
Yeah, I think the hit, like for instance this week, the hit was worth it for me because I took out two players that were guaranteed to score 0 points because they had a blank. So if you take a minus four and the player that you bring in only scores 2 points, that's still only a minus two. So you're putting your faith in that player. They still have to return in order to make the in order to make the points profitable.
Yeah,
but if they play, it's still a minus two. So you do have to consider all of these things. But yes, if you've got players in your team that are only going to score 0 points because of a blank game week, then it's worth a hit, I think, to bring others in. But yeah, it's just going to take a bit of planning, really, for me. I think really what I'm thinking is if this double game week 35 hasn't been announced by tomorrow's deadline, I think I've got to roll the free transfer. Because if I make a transfer this week, I was thinking of maybe doing my flip-flop strategy of Fernandes out for somebody else and then bringing him back in. And so this week I was going to bring in Son because Spurs have got that lovely fixture against Sheffield United. And then I'd maybe bring Fernandes back in for the double game week. But I think really it might be better to save my free transfer just so we know exactly what's going on in 35. So then I've got two frees there. And if I want to take a hit, then that's three moves. And just ride without Son and hope that Spurs don't go mad against Sheffield United.
Well, have you got other Spurs assets in there already? Like, have you got Kane to cover your back?
I've got Harry Kane. Yeah, I've got Harry Kane. So, I mean, that's just such an easy captain choice this week. I'm unlikely to go differential this week on that because I think his ownership's going to be absolutely huge. And it's Sheffield United at the end of the day, isn't it? And hopefully Ryan Mason will want to get them back attacking after that dire performance against City in the cup final.
My God. I mean, I didn't watch it, but I saw the stats. And in a cup final, Tottenham had two attempts on goal. I think Manchester City had like 28 or something like that. And I'm like, how is it only... Was it 2-0 in the end? 1-0? It was 1-0 in the end, wasn't it?
1-0.
Laporte. 1-0 in the end. I'm like, how on earth? I mean, I understand he's a young manager and that sort of thing with little experience, but... My God, it's a cup final. Go for it. You got a chance to win something. Just roll the dice a little bit. But I agree. You know, Sheffield United, they're one of the poorest teams in the league, aren't they? Although, they did beat Brighton at the weekend. And now there is this... I was thinking, for the first time this season, maybe I will bring in a Sheffield United attacking asset.
Really?
Because I was thinking David McGoldrick as well. And the only reason I was thinking that is because often when these teams do go down... They've then got no stress on their shoulders. They know they're going down. They don't have to worry about anything this season. All right, maybe they can get, 19th at best, something like that. Oh, that's at a real stretch. So, you know, they go out and enjoy themselves and they have a little bit more freedom about it. And, you know, strikers are one of those. If they've got no stress on their shoulders, they just enjoy the game a little bit more. So, who knows? David McGoldrick for a run of goals at the end of the season?
Hey, anything can happen. And I mean, it's an easy switch for you. It's an easy switch for you to move Vidra out, isn't it? Yeah, and you've just got him there and you can sit him on the bench. So I wouldn't argue with it. Anything can happen this season, can't it?
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world, and they want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers, and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week. Right, back to the episode.
So I guess I guess the best strategy really for now is to wait and see, isn't it? And if this game week 35 is announced, which apparently is very likely to happen, I guess the key is going to be to have as much of a balance in your team as possible if you haven't got any chips. If you've got chips, perfect. If you like Ben, producer Ben's got his bench boost and he's got his free hit left. So he could plan for a double game week 35 bench boost and then free hit in blank 36 and then carry on from there. Whereas we haven't. So I guess really the best thing to do would be to ensure, I mean, I've got one Everton at the moment who would double in 35 and play in 36. The trouble is the other teams that do that, I mean, I'd probably maybe add Luca Dean to that because Everton's fixtures would be West Ham, Aston Villa, Sheffield United, which is a lovely three fixtures. Mm. So potential for clean sheets there as well. And obviously Dean always has potential for attacking returns. Trouble is the other teams really aren't appealing at all. Crystal Palace, good fixtures. Wow, good fixtures. I mean, you could maybe put Zaha in. He tends to do well at the end of the season, but they've got, you know, Sheffield United, Southampton and Villa. Lovely fixtures, but it's Crystal Palace. Aston Villa, who are really off the boil now, aren't they, Villa? They've got United, Everton and Palace. Tricky. And then Southampton are the other option with Liverpool, Crystal Palace and Fulham. You don't really want to be putting any Southampton players in there, do you?
No,
so I think
I'm looking at these teams.
Go on.
Sorry, yeah, I'm just looking at these teams and I'm thinking, you could bring a player in on a punt. Like, you know, you could bring in Danny Ings if you wanted to. Like you said, you could bring in Wilfried Zaha if you want, but there's no one who's like screaming out as like an obvious choice to bring in from these teams. You know, it could just be like a chance return, like Chris Wood getting a hat-trick, something like that for Burnley. Like, it's probably just going to be something completely random and unexpected like that, which could deliver in this game week. So I see why you're considering rolling your transfer, because that would be the sensible thing to do.
I think it's going to be, the more I look at it, I mean, I don't love the fact that this week I've got Fernandez, Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold all in the same match playing each other, because you know, you never really know what's going to happen in a game like that. United Liverpool, it could be cagey, it could be high scoring, you know, who knows. I suppose you can kind of get away with that, but you don't really want Salah, who's worth that much, and Bruno worth that much, you don't want them to play each other in blank, which is, you know, fairly likely. And Salah might get rotated again, you never know. So it's a tricky one to navigate, but then obviously they double afterwards. Liverpool don't double afterwards. But I think you need a balance of those single game week teams that have just got games throughout. I think really,
good fixtures.
If you can go, you know, if you can get four players that double in 35 from Arsenal, Chelsea, Leicester and United, and then you can bench them the next week, then you might have a team of 11 for the blank as well. It's going to be really tricky to navigate this. I'm interested to hear other people in the community, how they're going to navigate it without chips, because I'm really not sure what to do here.
I think it's because it's getting to that stage of the season where, like, you know, a minus four, like, I can prop, I mean, especially in the position where you are in the overall rankings, can majorly affect, you know, a slide of 10,000, 20,000 places, something like that. You know, it's a significant price to pay. And if that gamble doesn't pay off, like, that's such, you know, a burn. But because these teams are not playing, are playing, you know, playing against assets that you've already got, I don't know. I think if you want to play the game really safe, is it just best to pick players from the teams that are just going to have those single game weeks going on throughout the season? You know, like your West Hams, your Tottenhams, you know, your Liverpools, that sort of thing. And don't look at those, you know, Leicesters, Chelseas, Man United, that sort of thing. Is that maybe the sensible thing to do? But it's risky reward, isn't it? Because if you get it in them double game weeks, my God, it can be a great game week if you bang on the players there.
I mean, I guess really what you could do is you could get six double game weekers, from the best teams. So from Arsenal, Chelsea, Leicester, United, Everton, you could get 6 double game weekers there and then make 2 or 3 transfers in game week 36 to take 3 of them out and to bring 3 single game weekers back in. So then you've got 3 on the 3, you'd have to leave 3 on the bench and get rid of 3. I think it's got to be about this transfer strategy, and I think you've got to roll the transfer this week, really. If you've only got 1 free, if you've got 2 free this week, great, make one of them, save the other one, and then you've got 2 going into game week 35. Alternatively, you might want 2 frees going into game week 36 to get those players out of your team that blank in 36. So which would then mean it would be more beneficial to use my free transfer this week, roll it in 35. So I could use the transfer this week to set up for 35, but then 35's not been confirmed. So it's like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Why do people listen to us? We don't actually give any advice. We just scratch our heads and guess.
This is the biggest minefield I think we've ever had to deal with, really, when you've got no chips to do it. And because it's all coming on so quickly, it's like we haven't had time to plan for this because they might announce it any minute. I mean, maybe FPL will look at it and go, this is going to mess a lot of people's teams up and we don't want to do that. So therefore, we'll add this game week 35 plus in that you're talking about where the teams won't blank. I don't know. So it's just about strategizing, working out when is going to be best to use your free transfers and roll them if you can until we get more news.
Follow Ben Krellin and Official Fantasy Premier League to stay up to date. Because we are not. Shall we call it a day? Shall we wrap up? I could imagine Ben would be telling us to, you know, get on with it about now.
Yeah, so. Let's wrap up. So, who's your captain this week? Best captain options? And are you making any transfers?
I'm thinking... Because I've got players coming back who weren't available last week, I think I can have a pretty solid team for this game week. So I think I'm going to wait and do the sensible thing and wait for that double game week to be confirmed. But I mean, if that happens today, I might make the transfers today. Captain choice, I still like the idea of picking somebody who's not, you know, so highly selected, isn't your obvious, you know, like your Kane or your Fernandez or something like that. So I'm thinking that I might stick it on Jesse Lingard away to Burnley. I'm thinking. But I am also very aware that David Moyes' sides, well, Everton in the past, tend to lose a little bit of momentum as the season comes to an end. And West Ham have been showing signs of that lately. So I don't know. Maybe. It's a punt. So I'm in the position where I can afford to take a punt. So I might stick it on Jesse Lingard.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I think I'm most likely going to go with Harry Kane against Sheffield United. There isn't really another standout option for me. Iheanacho is definitely an option again against Southampton. But I think Kane's got such a good fixture. So I think I'll most likely go with him. And yeah, in terms of transfers, like we've said, I'm going to wait for news. I'll possibly bring in Son for Fernandez for that tasty fixture. But then Fernandez will probably have a double. So I think it's worth just holding him for now rather than flip-flopping between premium midfielders and just hope that Son stays quiet. So yeah, I think I'll probably do the same as you, roll the transfer until we know more on game week 35. I feel like I haven't rolled a transfer in a long time. It's going to feel weird.
I know. I've been taking like at least a -4 for the past like 5 game weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. And presumably Ben will be bigging up Aston Villa because they've got Everton twice in like the next 10 days or something mad like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, they've just got to start playing a bit better. They've just got to start playing a bit better, haven't they? I could bring in Mateus Pereira.
Oh, all right. You bring in Pereira, I'll bring in McGoldrick. Let's go for a whole relegation head to head. Why not? Sounds. All right. I guess all that's left to say is best of luck, everyone. At Triple Captain Free on Twitter and Instagram. We'll have updates there, maybe, if there is any. Probably just be a retweet of Ben Krellin or Official FPL, to be honest. But yeah, best of luck. And let us know how you get on. See you next time.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Hello, my name's Dan.
Hiya, I'm Katie.
And we are back with our brand new podcast, Newsjacking. Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're going with, yeah. Not to be mistaken for news jerking.
No, we did talk about news jerking, didn't we?
Posh Ben, the producer, can you confirm the name of our podcast? Is it Newsjacking or News Jerking?
No, we're going Newsjacking.
Better cancel those t-shirts I got ordered then.
We should probably explain what newsjacking is.
Yeah, what is newsjacking anyway?
Siri, what's newsjacking?
Newsjacking. The practice of taking advantage of current events or news stories as a way of promoting or advertising your own product or brand.
So essentially what you're saying is we're talking about other people's news as a way of drawing attention to our own new podcast.
Basically, yeah. It's shameless, but I'm hoping it will be effective.
So that's News Jerking with Dan and Katie. Going to be starting...
Jacking.
That's News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Yeah. You can find us now in your podcast app.
News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Dan and Katie.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.